This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. When I got into digital signage 20 plus years ago, and for many years after that, PCs dominated the media player side of the business. The big questions were around whether to use Windows or Linux, and products were differentiated on things like size and ruggedization. That's changed in the last few years, with more and more digital signage networks going in that used low-cost embedded players and smart displays, or worked off special-purpose media players or adapted set-top boxes. That shifted the ground for Seneca, an upstate New York specialty computer company that's been in the game for decades. There's no doubt fewer digital signage networks now run on PCs, particularly when there's only simple messaging like menu boards. But demands have also changed, and a lot of networks that are based around messaging are driven by real-time data and analytics that need serious computing at the edge. Kevin Cosby has also been in the industry for a bunch of years, and the last several have been with Seneca, where he leads business development in the digital signage sector. We had a great chat about where PCs fit right now in the industry, and we get into how and why Seneca has put resources into developing supporting software that makes commissioning PCs way easier and gives partners new and better remote management tools. So, Mr. Cosby, we've known each other for a very, very long time, but for those people who don't know Seneca and to a larger extent, Arrow, can you say what that's all about and what you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for taking some time out of your day today. I really appreciate the opportunity. So Seneca has been a 30-plus year organization that has its roots in traditional technology distribution. And over the course of those 30 years, 6 years ago, Arrow Electronics actually acquired us. And since then, we've been part of the Arrow family, as it were. Ultimately, for those that are familiar with Arrow, a lot of people might just have the normal idea that Arrow's a big IT distribution company, but we fall under the services group. So our focus still is around services as it relates to digital signage, services as it's around technology to build a real solution and not just focus on speeds and feeds of hardware. So Arrow, big, massive company, but the nice thing is Seneca still runs through our veins.
Right. And company's based in Syracuse still, right?
Yep. The majority of our engineering group is all in Syracuse, supports in Syracuse, and we've got a light manufacturing facility still in Syracuse and large manufacturing facility in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay. And Arrow is based in Denver, right?
You got it. Yep. Centennial area.
So when I look at the Seneca website, I see that you guys are into broadcast, surveillance, and digital signage being the kind of the key solutions you talk about. What percentage roughly, no, I don't need exact, but curious roughly, is of the work that Seneca does is around signage?
That's about 50%.
Oh, okay. So that's like a big part of your business.
Yep, absolutely.
And has that shifted through the years?
Well, when we first started getting into what I like to consider niche computing, we were really that digital signage OEM focused company. And then through the years, through those 10 or so years that we've really focused and dialed into niche computing, that created the new division of the security group. And they've been growing through the years as well. So we used to be kind of like 100%-ish, you know, on the niche computing focus in digital signage. And over the years, security and surveillance has grown substantially.
Okay. And with signage itself, I've been doing this for 20 plus years now. And when I got into it, and for the first many years, it was all about what kind of PC to use. That's what people used. And, you know, the debates were around, do I use Windows or do I use Linux? And the PCs are being marketed and sold as much on form factor and processing power as really anything else. And a lot has changed since then. And I'm curious how it is with the business in that, you know, you talked about a niche or a niche, as we call it up here in Canada. How do you make the argument now of using a PC versus using a system on chip smart display versus using a set top box or an HDMI stick, whatever it may be? You know, who's still using PCs, and am I wrong in thinking it's a niche and it's used more than I think?
No, great question. Glad you asked it. So it's a lot to unpack with that question. And because, you know, I can't wait. you know, similar to you, I've been in the space for 15 years. I've seen a lot of interesting changes in the industry as a whole. You know, way back when, agreed, everything was PC. And it's not to say we were just thinking the industry is going to stay running Wintel-based platforms forever, right? We saw that higher performance chipsets are coming out from different chipset manufacturers. And here we are today with a variety of capable chipsets that can produce and run 1080p or 4K content on a display. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of differences in our industry, however, where not everyone just needs to have a 1080p full screen content running 365 days a year. There's more to it. There's more stuff that's happening at the edge today than there was 10 years ago. And that's what we're keeping up with. Now, I do want to back up a little bit, though, and say the PC used to be pretty much the media player way back then. And now we're kind of seeing ourselves, and I use this analogy a lot. I don't mean it that we're the best out there, but we were kind of like the iPhone. We were, you know, PC was the first to market as a media player. And then you started to see Android phones and you started to see all these other bits and pieces. Now, the nice thing is all of these other bits and pieces that are getting added to the marketplace, they validate our industry as a whole. So when we have SoC out there that is grabbing market share, and when we have other purpose-built devices that are grabbing market share, it's increasing our entire industry value. So yeah, we don't have 100% of the pie anymore, but as that pie expands, we continue to have significant market share. And that's really what we're after. We're not going after some folks that may consider SoC to be perfect for what they need. And ironically, actually, many instances where SoC is running, we're actually the primary media player, and SoC is used as the redundancy, which I love that partnership. That's a really good, useful way to have technology ensuring redundancy in high impact environments and really important environments.
Yeah, I've heard that in a few cases for kind of mission critical displays like airport displays and so on, where the smart side of the display is the failover, but you know, the big video wall or whatever is handled by a much beefier industrial grade box.
Yeah, and then just another aspect of your space, despite the entrant of other folks in the industry that are producing media player type solutions or media streaming devices, year over year we've had consistent growth. So there's a lot of massive enterprise networks out there that will usually only consider using a Wintel-based platform. And that's just based on the way their corporate structure works, the way their IT staff works, the way their entire organization functions on a global perspective.
And in a lot of those cases, when you have an IT team with a bunch of doctor no's who say, no, we only use PCs or whatever, are they not also quite often saying, and we only use Lenovo or we only use this brand name or that brand name. There are our kind of base contractor vendor for PCs.
Yeah. Great question. And historically, when prior to Seneca being part of that Aero family, mm-hmm. we used to just have the Seneca stuff. And now that we're part of the Aero family, we are an HP OEM, Lenovo OEM, Dell OEM. So we can still wrap all of the goodness of Seneca, which is, you know, building systems specifically for an enterprise level opportunity and adding all of the functionality to that device. So when someone hits that power button, it runs the exact experience they want it to run. Mm-hmm. So reducing that setup time significantly at the end user destination.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about that. I've been out to the Seneca facility in Syracuse a couple of times when I used to live much, much closer than I do now. And that was one of the big things is when you're buying your PCs, your media players, whatever you want to call them, servers, it's not like buying something off the shelf at a Best Buy or at a big box from a computer manufacturer. It's commercial or industrial grade. There's a lot more going on. Can you kind of lay out what you guys do that would differentiate it from a manufacturer that's knocking out thousands of units a day?
Absolutely. So you've just hit on one major key point, is that we're not producing thousands of devices and then figuring out how to sell it. Uh-huh. We have two major go-to-market strategies. One is our OEM space, and we are a OEM equipment manufacturer, right, or a contract manufacturer for a lot of software companies out there that want absolutely nothing to do with hardware. So we bear that burden on their behalf, right? We grab their IP, their brand, their software, and we build it into our systems, our reference design systems, and we manage logistics. We manage just-in-time inventory. So they can focus on software, we focus on hardware, and that end user and customer gets a device, a purpose-built device that is branded as that experience. Mm-hmm. Now,
Oh, I was just going to say, I remember several years ago when Intel came out with its Nook or Nuke or however it gets pronounced lately. And, you know, nice little tiny box, but it looked very much like a consumer-grade plastic box that would be perfectly fine on a credenza in a home or something like that. But then Seneca came out with its own version of the Nook, and you know, it was the same reference design, I guess, but mm-hmm. it was industrial grade, it was fanless, it was, you know, it was made for business use, for, you know, it was ruggedized to actually work out in the field for more than a week or something.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how you guys approach this, that, you know, we do computing, but this is thought through in terms of what the use case is.
That's exactly right. You sold it better than I could have, Dave. But
I'll wait for the check.
Right. That's exactly right. We've become, over the few decades that we've focused on niche computing, we've become experts at taking off-the-shelf technology and designing it in a very purpose-built manner. So yes, Intel's a great partner of ours. We use a lot of their technology in a lot of our stuff, but we've recognized that Intel is for mass consumption on a lot of their platforms, and digital signage isn't really looking for just a mass consumption solution. They're looking for something that's a little bit taken a step further, and thermal design is important. Power supply embedded in the system is important. Output is important from an HDMI perspective or display port, whatever that case is. And that's the stuff we take from the Intel board itself. And we'll grab USB headers off of it to increase the I/O on our chassis. We'll do all these creative things to take what exists from a global consumption perspective and take it to that next level to ensure it's perfect for what that for what the industry needs, not just that customer.
The rise of things like audience measurement technologies, computer vision, that sort of thing, and demand for more computing at the edge of a network, at the device that may be pushing content to the screen, but that device is also being asked to do computer vision tasks of some kind and so on. Has that kind of helped the sales effort as well in terms of you can maybe kind of sort of do that with a smart display, or maybe possibly probably not with a set-top box kind of device, but you can buy a small form factor industrial grade PC that, you know, you can tool up with an i5 or an i7 or whatever, and it can do multiple things off of the same unit.
Spot on. Again, Dave, you're crushing it out there on the hardware side. But that, exactly to your point, we're starting to see and have really for the past few years that there's a shift from our perspective where not everything has to be computed in the cloud. And a lot of stuff needs to happen at the edge. And mm-hmm. as that edge becomes more in demand from a computing perspective, from a headroom perspective, and future-proofing perspective, that's where we're starting to see folks that used to be on an i3 actually start looking at an i5 and i5 to i7. And of course, you've got Moore's Law, right, where the computing capabilities at the edge just become more powerful as the years and technologies increase. So even some folks that we were able to get away with, if they're doing 4K at the edge and running some other compute, maybe they used to be on an i5, and now 5 years later, we're actually seeing that to keep up with that same demand, an i3 is going to be appropriate. So it's kind of both ends of the spectrum. And then as you get into the larger stuff where it's like Times Square video wall, you know, that's our hardware through our partner Diversified. And that was built specifically with really crazy compute in mind and crazy video in mind. And that's very purpose-built, high compute power is required for that type of solution.
Yeah, you guys have servers that drive any number of very large, like seriously large pixel displays, right?
Yeah, like the Orlando airport, that is, it's like a mile or so of continuous displays that is using our hardware for hardware synchronization. And hardware synchronization, again, getting that compute down to the edge instead of constantly relying on the cloud, you're not going to experience latency. You're not going to experience any major issues at the edge. It is as foolproof as it can possibly get.
And at the edge, the demand and really the rise of dynamic signage, this idea that what you're going to see is based on what other business systems are telling you. Is that the sort of kind of decisioning that, yeah, maybe you could do it in the cloud, but really it needs to be at the edge, at the individual devices to work best?
Yeah, and just having that latency no longer a concern. So if you're doing drive-through type menu boarding solution and you want to do as much analytics as you possibly can to design content around certain environmental information, it's best to keep that computing at the edge because there will be no latency going up to the cloud, computing, and then coming back down to the device. So having those decisions made at the edge is far more powerful than having to send everything up to the cloud. Right. The same reason that, you know, a Tesla car, the amount of computing that is done inside the car is substantially more than probably people think.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, Visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
You guys have started marketing something called Maestro. Can you tell me what that is and where that came from?
Yeah, absolutely. So we recognized out of our OEM group, a lot of the OEM folks have started to sell to a broader group of people, the channel. And over the years, we started seeing that, all right, now we've got these 5-6 media players, and we've got these 28 software partners. And, you know, I'm not going to do the computation here, but it comes up with a ridiculous amount of combinations of hardware to software. And now we've got to have all of our partners telling us, hey, Kevin, I really want to have an HDN with BroadSign on it. It's like, okay, now we got to put in that information, and then we build to order and send that out. Instead of having all of these different SKUs and part numbers in a very complex and convoluted way, we grabbed all of our software partners. So that's, BroadSign, Navori, Signage Live, AppSpace, Intuiface, PingHD, Acquire Digital. And then on the analytics side, we've got AdMobilize, Visibility, and Quivity. And we've bundled them into a single platform called Maestro. And that comes on all of our media players as a simple, easy to use, out of box software tool. So just helps people. It automatically optimizes the operating system for a digital signage environment. The next step is you just click on BroadSign, for example, if that's your CMS. It auto installs all of the BroadSign programs that are required to run on that system. It changes anything that BroadSign needs to the operating system, so everything is taken care of. And then, of course, if you want to add Mobilize to that platform, you click on Add Mobilize, it installs it, and now you have a very simple point-and-click setup process and a BroadSign Add Mobilize player right out of the box.
And what led to that?
It was just mostly confusion. You know, we had a database of all of these part numbers, all of this stuff, and we realized we need to get everything together in an effort to be more aggressive in our channel space. So we've got a lot of really good channel customers, but we need to make their install process as easy as we could possibly make it, reducing their time at the install. So we've partnered up with the same folks that they're partnered up with to make their lives as easy as we could possibly make it.
So one of the features and benefits, I'm just looking at the webpage here, is you talk about saving hundreds of keystrokes. How is that? Just because of all the monkey business to get multiple systems working?
Yeah, so you've got Microsoft Windows, which is a wonderful operating system. I can't say anything negative about it.
Sure you can.
But yeah, I'm not going to do it here, Dave. but ultimately, it's built for mass consumption. So again, how do we take something that's built for the entire world to use from an operating system level and make it perfect for signage? So usually when somebody gets a media player that's running on a Windows environment, they've got to go through and they've got to do certain things to the operating system. They've got to do this to the graphics card through the drivers. They've got to do this and X, Y, and Z. Well, instead of having the installer do those things to, suppress errors, so you're not going to have errors on the top layer of content, which I'm sure we've all seen out in the wild.
Once in a while.
Yeah. this Maestro platform, the minute you boot it up, when it goes into the operating system, it auto goes through all of this stuff. So that technician doesn't have to do anything. And then it goes through a reboot. When it pops up that second time, then you're installing BroadSign. Well, BroadSign has certain things that need to be done, certain hooks into the operating system that need to be done with a mouse and keyboard. Well, we've just done it by just clicking BroadSign and install. It goes through that whole process. So we've scripted the whole process. So yeah, maybe 100 clicks isn't the same for installing PingHD or it's only 50 clicks for BroadSign, but it hovers around 100 clicks that we've actually gone through the setup and and jotted down how many clicks we're saving folks on average.
So in essence, it's removing what can be a giant pain in the ass.
That's it. Yeah. We'll change that to the marketing slogan.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's something to be said sometimes for plain language.
That's right.
What's been the response from your ecosystem?
Really happy. It's been kind of in, yeah, it's been like in my brain for a while.
Oh, darn, it's easier now?
Yeah. Damn it, Kevin. Why? it's been this thing in my head for a while, and you know, there's risk involved when you're doing a paradigm shift within the organization. And mm-hmm. our engineering group got behind it. All of these folks got behind it into this, how do we make the channel so much easier? And we've gotten incredible feedback from our partners that we didn't think we were going to get. And it's just been like, I don't know, heartwarming a bit that we're hearing such good feedback. Like, you guys have thought of everything. Well, all right. That's pretty cool. That's good to hear. And it's been really, really good.
And was that all done in-house, or did you have to kind of find a third party to do some of this stuff? Cause you know, you're mostly gear guys, not software guys.
We're mostly speeds and feeds dudes, but ultimately we've got pretty good software engineering prowess. Mm-hmm. When it comes to an operating system level stuff, right? We've been building operating systems because we build hardware. Yeah. We've been doing it for decades. Now, if someone said, "Hey, Kev, can you build me a CMS?" No, that's not our game. That's not our software expertise. But absolutely, OS level stuff. That's our area of expertise.
Okay. Before I hit the start button here, we were also talking about something that was introduced earlier, and you said it's going to spin up a lot more in 2021, called XConnect.
Yeah, that's right.
What's that?
So we've had this platform called XConnect in our security and surveillance group for about 5 years. So it's been developed as a very matured platform, and it allows people to, from a simple dashboard, see all of their network video recorders, right, in the security and surveillance group. And it would allow them to see all their IP cameras. So from one dashboard, they can see everything and they can manage those devices. Well, of course, that bright light went off in our group saying, "Hey guys, we see a pretty big need for this in the digital signage world." The difference is now that instead of it residing on a massive, beefy, high performance server, we needed to figure out, how do we take all of that incredible goodness in seeing what's going on in the server environment and bring it down to an itty bitty little media player that is sometimes running a little Intel Celeron chipset, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, we can't impact content. Content is the number one thing that has to be running on these devices. And if we have any impact on that, then we're just going against the grain. So it took the engineering group quite a while, but they were able to successfully deploy this XConnect platform, which allows monitoring and management. And the management is the big key function here. Anybody can send out a monitoring platform to see green lights and red lights.
Yeah.
But if you want to actually reduce your truck rolls, you've got to be able to remotely manage these devices. So what this system allows us to do is send out remote commands down to devices. Of course, simple reboot commands, that's all table stakes. But now we're at a level where, I'll use an example. We've got a customer where they were complaining that out in the wild, it was in a retail environment. For whatever reason, people were somehow bumping into the power button, and it would get that graceful reboot going. Well, we went to the engineering group and with the customer working with us, they were like, "Can't we just get rid of the power button?" Like, well, yeah, technically we could. So through the XConnect platform, thousands of devices out in the field didn't require a truck roll, and remotely we disabled the power button on the system. So now that technically the only way to reboot it is remotely through our system, which our partner and managed service provider is providing all those services. So really cool application.
Yeah, I get a sense, you know, through the years of when it comes to truck rolls, yes, there are times when something catastrophic has happened and you absolutely need a technician there, but there's one hell of a lot of truck rolls that are just about a cable that's come loose or power button turned off or something, right?
Absolutely. I was just on a call before chat with you, Dave, where one of the big topics of that discussion was it's the unknowns that are going to kill a network, and truck rolls are the big unknown. So if we can mitigate that and bring it down to a manageable level where it can be understood almost as how many truck rolls you think are going to happen for a network. And then on the back end, a managed service provider or an AV integrator or whoever it is on the XConnect platform can resolve stuff remotely. It allows organizations to scale their network a lot faster than they otherwise would.
So you, with your CMS partners, a lot of those guys like the Navoris and Signers Lives and so on, they have device management of some kind that's kind of built into their software front end. Is what you bring with XConnect complementary, or is there an API? Does it replace what they have? You know, how does that all that work?
Yeah, it's intended to be the single pane of glass for an organization and it does have an open API framework. So the nice thing about the XConnect platform is if organizations need to ingest other information, then we can ingest that information into XConnect. So for example, Navori, they've got a great platform that can see a lot of what's going on the device, but because we're the hardware manufacturer, we can just see more of the technology layer, the technology stack.
Right.
So in addition to what's going on with Navori, we can potentially ingest that. We can ingest information from an IP camera. We can ingest information through HDMI CEC. We can ingest information through an SOC platform like a Magic Info. So the idea here is that XConnect has the capability of becoming that single pane of glass to manage and monitor not just a media player, but the entire stack.
So this is a little bit like what BrightSign is doing in terms of they've got boxes and then they've got a device management platform as well that kind of removes the need for the CMS provider or the solutions provider to develop their own thing. Is it a bit like that?
I mean, in the rudimentary sense of monitoring and managing, yes. In the higher level, more in-depth perspective, our design is, and I'm no expert on the BrightSign platform, but our design is not very proprietary in that it is an open API framework and we can add on a host of other devices. If you want to add on, perhaps a Lenovo device, no problem. HP devices, no issue. Dell devices, all good. So it's a little bit more open and you can manage in an entire network of stuff, not just the Seneca media player. So we're looking to go after how do we help manage the entire infrastructure, not just one piece of the puzzle.
And it doesn't have to be x86 based?
Right now, x86 based for basically monitoring the device itself, but then the device itself becomes its own gateway and it allows to see other stuff on that same network.
Which is why you could see a Samsung smart display, for instance.
That's right, yep.
Okay. I'm curious, are you seeing other kinds of companies that aren't digital signage, pure play companies, or really even AV integrators or something like that? Just different kinds of organizations. I'm thinking like access control companies and other ones that particularly in the past year have seen the need to be able to push information to larger screens. Are you starting to see sort of non-traditional players come at you?
Honestly, on the PC side of the house, not really, no. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a little bit more where our traditional competition from like 10 years ago is not consistently our competition as much as new entrants have become our competition. So I don't know.
By new entrants, you mean like the smart displays and set-top
boxes?
Yeah,
SOC and yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So, but from a traditional, x86 based system, Wintel based platforms, and this is just a gut reaction based on the industry. Seneca has focused so heavily in the digital signage space that I believe we've become strong leaders in the PC-based digital signage media player world.
Yeah, certainly there's three or four other companies that
Sure.
are selling into the same ecosystem, but it's in their case, in it usually seems to be, and we also do digital signage, or here's one of the this is among the things that we do versus you guys. You're saying it's 50% of your business and you have full-time people who that's all they do.
Yeah, we've got engineering group that's what they've been doing for 10 plus years.
All right, so what might we see from Seneca slash Arrow in the context of signage in the next 12 months?
Well, I'd say you're going to see a lot of us virtually, of course. This year we're really excited about the Maestro platform and the XConnect platform. It puts us into a very serious solution offering for digital signage. Just as we've been talking through this, and you just mentioned, a lot of folks have historically provided a small PC, and we've done that for years, but now we're taking that next level. We always took that next level from a hardware side, making it a little bit more purpose-built, and now we're starting to really dissect the whole process. So we're dissecting what are channel folks doing, what are integrators doing, what are managed service providers doing, what is the digital out-of-home space doing, and how do we solve some of those industry problems with technology? And then, of course, we've got Big Arrow behind us that we're happy to be a part of. So we offer, Arrow credit and financing to support really massive projects or projects that are just $10,000. We've gotten very creative in grabbing some of those Arrow pieces that historically we didn't have the capability of offering because of size.
Yeah, I assume that if you had a very happy moment where you had an end user come to you and say, really interested in this, but here's the deal. I need 40,000 units by start of June. Old Seneca would probably go, ooh, versus now with Arrow, you could actually say, I mean, I don't know if you could do that kind of number, but you could do a big number without people having a heart attack.
I'll still fall out of my chair, but I'll get back in the chair pretty quickly, whereas before I'd be left on the
But you'd be laying on the ground with a smile on your face.
That's right. Yeah. And the other cool thing with Arrow Capital too is we've partnered with our software partners, so we support the project with that end customer. So if it's, I don't know, Staples that wants to do a 2,000 unit deployment, we'll support the entire financial burden of that project. And then let's say software company X is working it with us, Arrow Capital will pay that software company for those 3 years of contracted services on day one. So now we've got a solution that allows our partnerships to be a little bit more financially stable as well.
All right, Kevin, thank you for spending some time with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave. Happy New Year, and really looking forward to seeing you and everybody in the industry one day, maybe this year.
One day.
Yeah.
I think it might not be until the fall, but fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Yep.
All right, stay safe.
Thanks, Dave. You do the same.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.